so that it can be applied and that we can be set free. He's looking for somebody to set free. He's not looking to destroy. Well, you just read that the earth's going to be destroyed. It is, because he's faithful to his word, guys. But the reason the earth is going to be destroyed is because the evil and the darkness is going to be doing a number on the earth. You can already see it. Yes? All these reports, you know, isn't it the state of Nevada that's fixing to tell California, get your water somewhere else. You've about sucked us dry. Have you seen in Africa, is it Mozambique, where they're telling the citizens that they can only bathe once a week? And, you know, they're shutting down these things because of water supplies, and everybody wants to blame somebody. Listen, Peter's letting you know these things are going to happen. And so he came in, and he's been telling us, hey, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be all these problems and all these issues, right? Then he tells them about all the marvelous promises of God, and he comes in and he says to us and Peter, hey, don't worry. How does he know that? Because he lived it. Why don't you back up with me, and let's look real quick at Luke. I'll read it for you if you don't want to back up to that. It's on page 747, like an airplane, just fly in and land with me. Luke 23, 11. Luke 23, and I'm going to start at verse, I'm going to be 22. And he says, pray. Jesus is talking to the disciples on the Mount of Olives. And as he goes, his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Who was in that group? Who was in that group that went with Jesus? Our author, Peter. He was in that group. And here comes Jesus, and he's letting them know. Do you think any of them really thought they were going to fall asleep? When they went with him to fall, do you really think that any of them thought that they weren't going to stay with it? And yet he's telling them before, you need to pray that you don't fall into temptation. Guys, this is a beautiful promise that we can claim today, that Peter's reminding us, keep your eyes open. It's not what the world says. It's what God says. Because he knew that they were weak. He knew that they would fall in the temptation, that once everything got still and quiet, and as he's praying, when we pray, the peace of God was going to come on him. And when the peace of God comes on you, you just relax. You just want to rest. And that's why so many of us are in frenzies and worried. It's because we're not getting into his presence. And yet here Jesus was making provision for them before they fell into temptation. Listen, that to me is precious, because he knows that I am not perfect, and he knows that there are places where I mean well. Man, I'm going to do this, God. I'm going to stick with, right? And I just get caught up in the things around me, or I get carried away just in the, you know, automatic pilot of it all, because things are going pretty good, so I just coast. And he knew that. And so to me, that is a promise that Peter's coming back and saying to you, look at this. Look at this. He's not going to reject you. But be careful that you're not following after the way of the world, because they're going to get caught up in stuff. So I see three things that he's telling them to do. He's saying that people are refusing to see. They're living in denial. How many of you have already heard people say, oh, that's not true. The world is not going to end like that. There's no hell. There's no heaven. You're just religious nutoids, you know, whatever it is, right? But guys, the truth is that they are the ones who are living in denial. And just because a whole nation can come together and make a pact and everybody can be in agreement that it's not going to happen doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. How many people in here have seen and been at a hospital where everybody got the bad news and the bad report? And then one person who was going to believe, believed, and it didn't matter what all the doctors said. When Jesus showed up, they were healed. It's the same way with the world. But everybody's so sure this isn't going to happen. Now listen, just a little side note, and yet stay with it, because you know we've talked about the Jewish community and how blessed God's people are, the Jews, how blessed they are. We've talked about when we studied Revelation how that militaries always to this day use the Israelis' military plans in how to teach warfare. Well, who taught the Israelis? God. You've got it in here in the Pentateuch, in your first five books of the Bible. You've got that knowledge. You know what he was telling them. They didn't know how to do it. Can you say amen to the fact that there were times you didn't know what to do and you did what he told you and it worked and it wasn't you? That's right. So man, not only that, but I want you to recognize something. The three men who created the big bomb, right? Hiroshima, the big bomb, were three Jewish men. And Albert Einstein was among that group. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details, but I'm going to tell you this. When the Bible says that the hills will melt like wax, you've seen it. And when the Bible tells you, when he says that even the elements are going to fail, you've seen rock that turned to liquid if you've watched videos of volcanoes. I thought it was interesting a couple of weeks ago, this study came out and said that they've proven that in the core of the earth there's something that resembles hell. What? You needed to spend how much money to prove this for me? And now you're going to say that it doesn't exist? All I'm saying to you is this. When they did their experiment, they went out to the desert in Arizona when they got ready to test the bombs. Okay? They had what they thought was the thickest metals and materials, and this was just going to be a small explosion inside to see how things went. You can verify this by reading this. Going back and reading it. And when they set that off, the actual container melted. And they were stunned because they couldn't even believe the power that they had created. Look, I don't know if the world's going to end by nuclear war, and I don't really care because we're not going to be here. Okay? Those of you who want to believe it, you probably need to get some supplies ready, but me and Shauna, we're going, right? We are going, okay? So, you know, I've got his word on it. He's saying this is going to happen, but it's not going to happen to you because you believe, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to spare you this. But boy, people want to, you know, I need this to make sense. There are things that God is going to say to you that are never going to make sense, but they're going to make peace. I hope you heard that. There are things in this world that are never going to make sense, but they'll make peace. I have to make peace with certain things. The other day, Steve's mom lives with us. And Steve's always telling me, now she gets her value. I'm going to confess something to you tonight. She gets her value from going into my room and going through stuff and straightening stuff up. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, I don't want anybody messing with my stuff. And Steve's like, honey, this is her value. Well, you know, then I just feel terrible. So the other day I came home and like I'd left this necklace and stuff and it's all straight. The chain is straightened out. The comb is in the brush. You know, everything is, and I was like, my towel wasn't hung just perfect on the rack, you know, and I was like, dear God, this just frustrates me so bad. And he was like, I know exactly how you feel, because I try to do things in your life, and you try to come behind me and straighten everything up. I was like, right? You mess in my business. You try to put things in the order you think, and I just want you to know. Stop it. And I was like, God, is it really like that? But see, I can be at peace and it not make sense. I don't know it all the time, but I'm learning. But what I am learning is when this world wants you to get so caught up in the freak out, what do we got to do? Oh, come on, say it again. When this world wants to freak out, we got to seek out. Because he will give me peace, and I don't even understand where it came or how it came, but I'm just so grateful. But see, if your eyes, if you're living in denial and you're wanting to see the things, well, you know, those people don't like Christians because we're mean, and those people don't like God because he's mean. You are living in denial to the truth because, guys, the majority isn't who's going to be right. And your children and this generation is believing that the majority is right. They don't have to be right. Listen, there's so many things that we could take a vote on. There's so many times I've been in hospitals. There's so many times I've been counseling with families, and everybody tells me it can't happen. And you know what? Sometimes it makes me mad enough to just go home and say, God, I don't care if the whole world doesn't believe. I'm going to stand on your word. This is not going to happen. I will believe. I will stand. I will trust you. God, I'm going to listen to your word and not what I hear. And guys, so many times God is looking for people who will stand and believe. How many stories in the Bible? Was it just one? Didn't we talk about Noah last week? 100 years building something for rain they'd never even heard of. But he had peace. Why? Because God said, I'm going to protect you and your family. All he knew was, we're going to be protected. We're going to be protected. We're going to be protected. I've got his word on it. And it wasn't his choice that they didn't believe, but God had already told him, there's going to be mockers. Now, Peter, dude, here's a guy who knew about mockers. Here's a guy who went with the mockers and agreed with them to betray Jesus. But here's a guy who recognized that his failure was going to be the reason he was going to make sure you and I didn't fail. Listen, if I'm going to fall, I want it to count for something. I tell my kids, here's where I messed up. Don't do it. Here's a place where you can sink before you know it. And until I see you having the wisdom, and I'm going to tell you right now, my baby's up in the 3-0s. You know what I'm saying? My babies are there. And I still see things that I look at and I go, and the Lord's like, you know, I have to go before me. Lord, say something or not. Wait for the Holy Spirit green light. But I'm telling you what, I don't care what they see. I know what he said, and I'm going to keep believing. And I'm going to believe for you. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You better get in agreement with me on this. This is the year of life, and it is time for us to have life and life abundant. And it's not going to come from out there. That's why we got to be looking a different way. He's saying that people are seeing. They're seeing with my own eyes. You know, well, I saw this with my own eyes. Well, which ones? With spirit eyes or flesh eyes? Because Peter's saying, you got to look, we got to look a different way. I'm not looking forward to this world coming around and treating me with respect. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I am not, please believe me, I'm not depressed and I'm not suicidal. I got nothing to hold me here. Oh, you want to see your grandkids married, don't you? Well, not really. I'd rather be in heaven. I love every one of them. If I get to see it, hallelujah. You know, honey, gonna have a say-so. But if not, I'm good with that. Because to be with the Lord is the ultimate. Anybody in here enjoying being in this world to where you enjoy the pain and sorrow? Not just what you're experiencing, but watching other people suffer because they won't look to the Lord? That is part of what Peter's also trying to get them to open their eyes to. Guys, if you really believe this, tell them the truth. Are you seeing with the flesh or are you seeing with the spirit? He's already told them, you're going to be persecuted. Why? Because Jesus told them. Jesus had even told him, Peter, you're going to die a horrible death. And he started out in this thing saying, not I'm the guy who got it right and Jesus is going to build the church on, but he said, I'm just a servant and a bond slave to the Lord. Listen, I want to tell you guys, something happened to me today, and I was not happy about it. Not happy. And if you knew what it was, and if it comes to fruition, you're all going to go, oh, that's wonderful. I'm not happy about it. Why? Because I told Steve, I was like, Steve, I'm telling you right. He said, I told him, you're going, I don't think she'll go with it. And I was like, honey, I'm going to have God's word. I'm going to have the book, chapter, verse, and a Holy Spirit confirmation. And you need to tell them, because they ain't believers. You better tell them what I said. And he's just dying laughing. So I get in there before the Lord, and I thought I was getting shaky because I hadn't eaten, you know, and stuff. So I'm like, man, I need to find me something to eat, you know. So I'm going, I got these little bean chips or whatever they were. And I ate a couple, and it was like, oh, that's not right. Felt the Lord just tapping on me. I thought, oh, this is a Holy Spirit moment. So I just got in the Word, and I was like, I opened the Bible, and the Bible absolutely told me I was wrong. Like, I'm looking up this Word and what it means, and I was like, God, I don't want to do this. He said, now that's the root. That's the root right there is what you want. You're going to teach tonight on looking with different eyes. I want you to hear what you've been praying to me. And my prayers have been, come on, you know this is true. I want every one of you to be people of influence or people who influence people of influence. Because that's our place. I remember Melanie Henry, many of you know her. Well, she sent me this thing one time. I interpret dreams and things, so she, this man had sent her this dream and whatever, and he was really disturbed by it. This is kind of funny. So she sends it to me, so I wrote it out. She goes, well, he wants to call you. He's like, I don't want to talk to some man on the phone. I don't know. Here's what it is. That's all I have to say. Give it to him. So she sends me back. She says, okay. This was so good. He wants to fly. He's a millionaire. He wants to fly you out on his private jet to Colorado, and he wants to bring these people, and they want to meet with you. I was like, no. No, I don't care nothing about that. It's just a stroke of ego, and I don't care nothing about it. I've already told him when I felt the Lord say it. I didn't tell me the Lord said it. Listen, just because somebody tells you the definition of what's productive, just because somebody tells you the definition in this world, and it can be Christians. I'm waiting. It can be Christians who teach and preach that, man, the ultimate is to get to this platform, you know, to get to this position, to have these possessions. I want to tell you something. The Bible says better is little with God than great with discontent. Listen, I need to be content with what I have because He is consistent with what He gives. And that's peace. Man, I'm telling you. And they're like, oh, you know, you're missing it. This was your open door. If God wants a door to open for me, He's going to open it more than once. I took that before the Lord. We got to listen to the Lord. Seeing with my own eyes are His. And that's 2 Timothy 3:16 that says, they all knew, but what's going to profit us? What's going to profit us? To walk humbly with the Lord? And to love Him. And if you're walking humbly, you aren't telling Him how it needs to be and mad at Him if it didn't happen on your schedule. I love you, and I'm going to tell you the truth. This is exactly how I would talk to the person I love the most in the world. I'm talking to you like that tonight. And that's exactly what Peter was doing because he knew the Lord had already showed him, hey, you're fixing to die. This is coming to pass. What I told you, he could feel it. He could see the alignment. Forget all the history that backs it up about Caesar Nero, that, you know, weirdoid going out there and, you know, lighting his garden with Christians dipped in wax and screaming, he's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Riding a chariot in the nude. I mean, he was so weird. And he took his male secretary as a wife after he had beat up the last wife and punched her in the stomach and caused her to miscarry a baby, so he killed her for it. I mean, dude's sick, all right? But when people begin to hear themselves and believe what they hear and what they see more than the Lord, you're going to lose your mind. Because only He can bring peace. Then he says he's looking the other way. Are we looking the other way? What other way is there to look? I'm looking with hope. I'm looking with hope. I want to tell you something. I cannot make other people's choices, but they can't change mine. What did we talk about in the beginning about forgiveness, what Steve said Sunday? He said that forgiveness is not reconciliation. The Bible will tell you sometimes, you know, be at peace with all men as much as it's possible with you. If you can't be in a room with them, they ain't no peace. I don't care what happened. If they're okay with it and they just want you to keep hanging with them to approve their guilt, don't do it if you can't be at peace. I'm going to go a step further. If you pleasing people because you feel like you're fixing to lose them, so you have to please them, you better let them go, because if you got to please them to keep them, you're going to have to do double duty to keep them. Mm-hmm. All right. Keep on going. I heard it. Okay. Jeremy's put a timer up there on the wall now, you guys. I got a timer up there. And I want you to know, I am not in submission to that timer. Then he says, this is reality. It's not a fairy tale. See, we've got so many fairy tales, and you know what? I love Disney movies. You all know I'm in agreement, you know, love that kind of thing. But we're not doing our girls any favor to call them all princess and set them up that the world needs to evolve around them. Oh, I'm a princess. Girl, you're going to be a working princess. You better get in there and clean that mess up. But I'm a princess. Put your crown on and get in there and clean it up. But I said, okay, I want to tell you something. The world's view is somebody owes you something. His view is, I've already paid you everything you need. Let's get some work done and get some people saved. If your boss tells you, here's three things I require you. I want you to always be on time. I want you to be respectful to people. And I don't want to ever know that you've questioned one of my decisions behind my back. Okay? You're like, sign me up. That's pretty easy. He's like, I don't care if you take 20-minute breaks or 10-minute breaks. Here's my three things. And all of a sudden, we find that, you know, we're 5 minutes late and he doesn't say anything. So, you know, that we're going to kind of slide on that one. And then, you know, standing at the coffee pot talking with everybody, you know, and somebody says, I don't know why I did it, and saying, yeah, I don't either. That's not really bad. That's just sharing an opinion. And before you know it, there's a different color slip in with your paycheck. And everybody gets mad about it. Didn't he tell you what was required? So here's the thing with Christians. He says that we need to love Him and believe in Him and do the things that He's called us to do, and that is to share the good news, to walk in peace, to walk in love, to walk in joy, forgiveness, long-suffering, straightening up the things in the bathroom, right? Because none of us are perfect. Why have we forgotten that? Because the world is telling you, if you do all these things and you line up, we like you. We approve you. You're going to be invited to our party. And what we need to be saying is, I like you. God has approved you. I want you to get to the real party. Because there's some good news that we're not sharing because we're not looking for hope. We're not looking at eternity. We're looking at the earth. And this earth is going to pass away. And man, there's so many times, you know, I just want to remember, I just want to set people straight. Doesn't that feel good? I just want to set them straight. But the Word says, I need to what? Set them free. You ever been set straight and not set free? Did you enjoy it? Well, I must be the only one that's had somebody try to set them straight. But I want to tell you, I didn't enjoy it. And I didn't find the peace of God in it. And Peter's saying, it's not about that. You need to look on because these things are going to happen. But verse 9 has already told you he wanted to do it because he loved you. It wasn't his will that anybody should perish. But we're going to make choices how we're going to look at things and how we're going to go with them. He told you bad stuff is going to happen. Now, the worst scenario we have is the blind leading the blind. Peter did the worst, and he's trying to help us not to. The best scenario is that you have no worries. Now, I can have no worries tonight, and tomorrow I may have to get back on my knees and reread this sermon. There's nothing I've ever taught you that I'll have to eat first. Okay? And so when I'm going, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'm going to teach on that. Oh, I hate that because that probably means I'm going to have to. He didn't want us to be hypocritical. It is through our failings that we find his power. His word says, in our weakness, we're made strong, not by me, but by him. Can I get a witness tonight that it is not easy to forgive people? Can I get a witness tonight that it's hard to find hope in this world? Can I get a witness tonight that we as Christians can get confused and caught up? So that's what he's telling us. You need to remember who he is and what he's done for you and the allowances he's made. Because if there's anybody else between you and him, you're not looking forward, you're looking around. And you're not looking forward to a bonus, you're looking forward to God providing. Anybody ever thought, well, this I need this and this is how it's going to happen? And then when it didn't happen, you got really mad and really disappointed. And then you came back and something brilliant happened that you couldn't have even thought of. And you're like, man, that was, and then you go, oh, that was God. Because he loves me. And he's going to prove himself faithful over the world. Bad stuff is going to happen. I have a little plant that I've had since, I think I got it from Karen Langford's funeral. Yeah, I had a little plant, pot plant that I had out here from Leah Van Zandt's funeral. And I'd kept it out there. And when Chuck's mother, Karen, died, they were going through and some of the family was getting flowers. And so one of them just took that pot plant I had. And then it was like, oh, I feel so bad. She goes, here, I'm going to give you this one. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. But I love, you know, if they're on sale, you know, I feel I need to rescue them. Some people are animals, I'm plants. I'm like, oh, I could take that home and it would thrive, you know. It's on sale for 50 cents. They don't see the value in that little plant. I'm like that. So, yeah. But every so often, it's all, you know, drooped down. And I'll go touch the soil and it's dry. And then there's sometimes, you know, where it's been, you know, shady or it's cold by that entry door and it just needs a little warmth. You don't want to shock them to death, right? Because then they'll just go, what was that? Right? So if a plant needs water to keep it strong so it doesn't droop, if a plant needs light so that it can reproduce life, what do you think we need? The light and the water of his word and his spirit. If you find yourself drooping, if you find yourself drying up, you got a free-flowing well that you can go to anytime. But if you're looking at what the world says, you won't believe it. If you're looking at what a court system says, you won't believe it. But when the Lord provides, woo, then we believe it. Amen? Right? Yeah. Some of you won't even attempt things because the world's already told you it's impossible or what it's going to cost. Well, let me tell you something. Who's already paid the price for you? And is his life worth more than money? If it's not, I'm looking at the wrong thing. And I believe me, it's easy to get caught up in it. That's what he's telling us. Don't let it be the blind leading the blind. Luke 6:39 says, here are some of the story illustrations Jesus used in his sermons. What good is it for one blind man to lead another? He will fall into a ditch and pull the other one down with him. He's told you, if they don't have the light of the Lord, they're blind. Bless you. Matthew 7:7-8. This is from the Message. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of doing such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children, so don't you think the God who conceived you in love will be even better? Well, I don't know that I was conceived in love. Let me tell you something. He loved you because he created you. Quit looking at who was involved and looking at how. He made you in your mother's womb. And she could say she didn't love you, but let me tell you, he did. And he wrapped you in love. And he planned good for your life. And Peter's trying to get him to come back and realize, guys, the day of the Lord is coming. It's coming for me, he's saying, and it's going to come for us. So I don't need to be worried about what people are telling me is going to happen. I need to trust in the Lord. You know, a couple of years back, you know, they're, oh, this hurricane's going to hit. It's going to be really bad. It's going to be whatever. And I kept telling Steve, let's just say, you know, that proverb that he turns the winds and the waters where they should go. I was like, we're just going to look at that map and just say, turn around, turn around, turn around. And everybody's mocking, you know, and whatever. I'm like, I don't care. If the hurricane hit, I got nothing to lose. Boy, I'm going to get in agreement with God's word. So we're in there, you know, and he's like, you know, why is that important to you? I said, I don't know. I guess it's because everybody just says it's going to happen. It just makes me mad. How do you know what's going to happen? We got to trust the Lord. So we began to do that. And that night I came home, Bernice said, you won't believe this. Pat Robertson stood up, said he commanded that storm to turn, and he believed that God could turn it no matter what it said. And that storm is turning. I was like, it took Pat Robertson. You know what I'm saying? I'm not good enough for you. But it took, hey, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And when I tell you that, I'm talking about us not succeeding so he can show up and be an answer that we think we got and we don't. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Tell him what you need. Well, he knows all about me. He knows I can't take. Get in there and say to him, God, I need the strength to finish this, or you need to rescue me out of it. Don't be mad at him. Just be direct. God, I'm hiding how I really feel because I got some, you know, watered down, mixed in with poison teaching that if I don't do everything right, you're going to reject me. Well, I can't do it right. Your word clearly says you knew Peter couldn't. Your word clearly said you knew Noah couldn't. Your word clearly said you knew David couldn't. Your word clearly said you're making provision for me because you knew I couldn't. That's no excuse not to try. But it's no reason to deny. Are we looking at what we see in the world? Are we looking backwards? Are we looking around at the world, or are we looking backwards at our failures or other people's? Can you just repeat this after me? Other people will fail me. I will fail myself. And I will fail other people. I'm not asking you to make a bad confession. I want you to wake up and realize that there is none perfect but him. You need to get this pressure off that you got to do everything right, because if you have to do everything right, then that means you expect it from everybody else. And I expect us to try. I expect us to say, you know what? Kids, here's where I missed it. Here's where I want to get it right. I told you about the bathroom. That was embarrassing. That sounded like Popeye. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to straighten up things that God's doing. Because he doesn't need me to show him the way. I need him to show me the way. Are we looking the other way, which is heaven's view, and so believing that there's going to be an end to it, that I believe that so much that I'm desperate to lead people to Christ and not to me? Are you a Christian? I go to blah, blah, blah church. Your church is not going to save you. He's the Savior. And I don't care how wonderful it is, and I don't care if your pastor travels the world, and I don't care if your singers have, you know, billion-selling records. I want to tell you something. Do you and I live the Word before our family and before each other to the point that we recognize we are not perfect and trusting Him? Because if we don't, we'll fall. So out of mercy, He can show us our need for Him. And we can let everybody else off the hook from having to wait for us to be perfect. God is consistent. Can you get that anywhere else? Think about what I'm asking you. Really, can you get consistency anywhere else? I can't even get consistency from me. Lord, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Make it one. Whew. Okay, well, that was good, so, you know, let's let that count, God. Ooh, I'm going to fast. And I get into the second day, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to fast till sundown, because that's what the Muslims do. Where did that come from? Right? Because I will fail me. I don't plan on doing it, but I do. But I can come back in and say, God, maybe that wasn't you. Maybe that was me. And like Steve says, I'm not fasting, I'm on a hunger strike. And boy, I'm telling you, I'm questioning the motives of why I'm doing stuff, because I realize I don't want to be playing games with you or with God. If I can't get consistency out of anyone, including me, what hope is there? The Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the provider of everything I need. You know why we say amen? Do you know what amen means? Let it be. That's not a Beatles song either. Just let it be, okay? You know why? Because they aren't saying, well, if you're God, they aren't saying, well, maybe, or if we did everything right, or if we go back and, no, amen to what He says. Let it be. I'm the forgiver. I'm the healer. I'm the deliverer. If I don't need to be delivered of anything, why would He put it in there? If I don't need to be healed of anything, why wouldn't He put it in there? Because I need it. Amen. Let it be. I don't care how it got there. I don't care what anybody else did. Amen. And I'm loving on all these people, and everybody's like, sweet little Nelda called me. She said, I went to the doctor yesterday, and I had the flu, and I was hugging on you Sunday and breathing on you. And I'm like, so what? Sweet little Eli, he went to the doctor. He has a mild form of the flu. I had him all weekend. He's breathing in my face. I'm sugaring him. He's kissing me. I don't care. Right? Bernice, sick, you know, still hacking a lung out. You know, I don't care. And the Lord just said to me one day, because I was like, I don't want her to see that I'm like fearful that she's like putting stuff in the air. God's like, do you want to get sick? And I was like, no. He goes, then you're not. And I was like, is it that easy? I'm 60. I ought to know better. But sometimes I listen to the world and I forget what He said. And I was like, is it that? Well, He goes, do you want to get sick? No. So man, Nelda, I was like, whew. And the Lord's like, do you want to get sick? I was like, no. Honey, I hate to tell you this, but Eli went to the doctor, and he's got a mild form of the flu and strep throat. Lord's like, do you want to get sick? I'm like, no. He goes, then you're not. I'm like, yes, yes. And there's other times when I get sick, and I'm like, I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to stay. And the Lord's like, you want to do it your way or mine? Go to bed. I'm trying to be strong. I didn't ask you to be strong. I asked you to get some rest. You got to listen. Our hope is in heaven, not in you and me and what seems right. So here's the thing. Who can find Romans 6:16 for me really quick? Raise your hand. Romans 6:16. Thank you, Becca. I'd like for someone to look up Joshua 24:15. Who can do that? Joshua 24:15. Thank you, Jalen. I need somebody else to look up Philippians 1:22. Who can do that? Philippians 1:20. Thank you, Angelou, love. Okay. They're going to find those Romans 6:16, Joshua 24:15, and Philippians 1:22. Becca, let's hear Romans 6:16. Which is life, eternal life. Jalen, what do you have? That's right. Who has Philippians? Angela? Okay, here's the thing. I can't tell you tomorrow what I'm going to choose. But like Jalen's scripture, choose this day. When you get up every morning, you're going to choose this day what you're going to do and how you're going to live it. And I'm going to believe in the Lord because if I choose Him, He counts it as righteousness. So even if I make this whole big, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, how many times did I hear one of my kids say, you know, Mom, today I'm going to clean that up before I go to school, and I'm going to do this, and I promise I'll come home, and then they got two things done, and that was it. Did I hate them? Did I turn them out? I say, get out of here, you crazy lying kid. No. No. Because they still are coming home. I'm saying to you tonight, can we look forward? Can we look a different way? Can we listen to what Peter's saying and say, I know that I'm going to have some hard times here, but I don't want to be droopy and dry. I want to stay in touch with this word. He said, remember, that's why he said, I'm giving you these letters so you can remember. And we come together and we fellowship with one another over the phone and through text and group me's and emails. And I don't do Facebook, but I see it on there. But I'm seeing more what we got wrong than right on Facebook, let me just say. And here's the thing. We do it to encourage one another. Because I know not what all you got right, but what you got wrong and you gave to Him and He turned it around. That gives me hope for me. That I can do it, that I can make it, that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. Stand with me tonight. I just want everybody to close their eyes right now because I really want to hone in on this. If pride has come in, and right there I lost some of you, but just listen. If pride has come in where the enemy's told you, you can't admit you're wrong or everything will fall apart, I want you to go to the Lord and say to Him, God, I need some help with this because I've started believing a poisonous thought that it's up to me so that it can be. And Lord, I want to walk humbly with you. And I'm just coming in and I'm asking you to help me in this place. Because what happens is you will feel so desperate. You will eventually begin to feel so unworthy living two things. Let the Lord, in His goodness, in your private time, forgive you and set you free from that. It's a bondage. Because, guys, the Lord, if we're not walking in joy, I didn't say I'm going to have joy all the time, but I can pursue it. I've got to stop looking. I've got to stop looking around me. I've got to stop looking behind me. I've got to look a different way. Lord, what do you say for me? You said, God, that the latter would be better than the former. You said, God, that you'd come to set us free, and free indeed. You said, God, according to your word, that we were anointed to set the captives free. You said, God, that it wasn't by might and it wasn't by power, but it's by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, infiltrate these places in me of fear that are keeping me bound to patterns of destruction. Lord, Lord, I cry out to you tonight. Father, I pray over the generations that are watching celebrities and believing them because of the glamour. God, help them right now to see, Lord, that their life, God, what is their life producing other than gold records? Let them see it, God. Let them see the wasted relationships. Let them see, God, the heartache. Let them see, God, in the looks, how they're trying, God, so hard to please people, they've lost hold of who they are. Show truth, God. Let us not be watering the world's things, but let us be watering your word, God, with your Spirit. I pray tonight, God, over your people, Lord. God, help me. I can't make other people's choices. But Lord, if you can live through me, enough to make somebody else hungry for you. And I submit, God. I submit to the things that I don't want to submit to, God, that I might show someone else your power and your glory. God, help us to win the lost because you paid the cost. Unburden, God, those tonight who walked in here drooping, unburden him tonight, God, with the hope that even before you prayed, not my will but thine, you were covering us, that we would not be tempted to give in. Thank you for that. Thank you, sweet, merciful Father. God, I thank you tonight that your mercy is flowing like love drops. And where your love drops come, God, it washes away the dryness, God, of unbelief. That it washes away, God, the fear of the world. That your love drops of mercy infiltrate, God, places where life has been set aside, and it renews it once again. Renew us with your love drops of mercy. We need you. And I willingly and happily admit it. Carry these burdens, God, that we cannot carry. Deliver us from evil. And let us be restored to the joy of our salvation. We thank you for that tonight, Father. We just give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. Can you just lift your hands right now? Just let him encourage your heart tonight. I don't care what anybody said about you. I don't care about a dirty look. I don't care about it, because there's one who I'm going to look at face to face, and it's not going to matter. Don't get caught up in what doesn't matter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We love you tonight, Lord. We worship you, God, that you are turning things for us and not against us. We love you, Lord. Infiltrate these places of fear and doubt, God. Oh, we thank you, God. How we thank you. How we praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Yes. Guys, it doesn't have to stop here. Take it home. Speak life over yourself and other people. Thank you, God. I want life, and I want life abundant, And I want it according to Ephesians 3:20, abundantly above what I can ask or think. I tell you tonight, God, and I willingly admit it in front of all these people, I don't even know what I want. I need you to show me what I want. Because only you can fulfill those places in me, God. Move by your Spirit, Lord. Let this desperation, God, be filled with your inspiration. Lead me, God. Help me to look forward to you, trusting you. You're going to make the way. Let's just say that. Lord, make the way. Lord, make the way. I just surrender from that pressure to do it. You make the way tonight, God. You make the path clear. Go before me and go behind me, God. Yes, clean up my messes, God. But let it be because people see that you are good to me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We trust you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. He's bringing some of you right now out of such a bondage. Thank you, God. Just set me free according to Isaiah 61. Let the anointing come, oh God, to set me free so I can set others free. Amen. Whew, he's good. Amen. Oh, we're just going to trust him. How's that? Amen. God bless you.